What is up, Yankee fans? I'm Ryan from Fireside Yankees, back after a little hiatus. Missed the last show, but I do appreciate Chris and Sam for carrying my slacker self in that podcast. And New York Yankees dropped the series 2-1 against the Reds. They won game one, but dropped the final two games of this set. The Yankees, for some reason, can't beat the Reds. They've lost their last three series to the Cincinnati Reds. They are a combined 2, and if I'm not mistaken, it's 2-7 the last 3 years. So the Cincinnati Reds, man, they are the 1998 Yankees against us. There's something about that team against the Yankees, but we'll talk about that series. We'll talk about some of the recent trade rumor stuff coming up. But Sam, before we get into everything, how you doing? How you feeling, man?
Joe Sixpack clocking in for another edition of the Fireside Yankees podcast. Listen, Friday was a fun one. I was in the building. We had a great time. Cameron obviously puts on the performance of a lifetime against Cincinnati Reds, 13 strikeouts. The last 2 days, it just gets really ugly. I know that there was that really nasty kind of runners in scoring position tweet that we put out during the game today. And then the offense just looked completely flat for the past 2 days. Obviously, yesterday, pitching-wise, was pretty disgusting. And then what you saw late in this game, especially with that weird Jazz Caballero error that kind of turned a routine ground ball that should have been a play that should have gotten made into a seeming triple for Spencer Steer late in that game. Jason Dominguez looked pretty bad in the outfield as well during the course of this series. So I know that there's a lot that we want to get into. Ryan, I'm going to let you lead it off. What you got?
Yeah, so the first thing I want to start with here, and I mean, we tweeted out the stat, but the stats in the series are really crazy. The Yankees went 2-32 with runners in scoring position this series. Now, that is two things. That's two things to me. Number one, that's obviously not good, right? You don't want that. That's why they lost the series. But number two, to me, it's not sustainable. That's not going to happen every series. And they had runners on. They had opportunities. They didn't cash in. It felt like the Yankees could have come back in every single game they lost, except for, I mean, it got out of hand yesterday, but even in yesterday's game, they had opportunities to make it like a 2-run game or a 1-run game, and Yarbrough coming in wouldn't have happened if they made it a closer game. So like there are some aspects of like, it felt like they had chances to chip away and make it a bit of a, make either Saturday a slugfest or just straight up win on, just straight up win today. It's unfortunate. It's what happens when you kind of leave meat on the bone, and they left a lot of meat on the bone. Just not what you want, man. Like it was a frustrating series to watch offensively. It was honestly one of those series where, yeah, you missed Aaron Judge and Trent Grisham and John Carlos Stanton, all these guys who can kind of put a charge into the ball, put the ball into the seats. And, you know, you go one, let's say you go 1-for-5 today. I mean, you went worse than this, but let's say you go 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position, but that one hits a 2-run home run or a 3-run home run, right? That's a game changer. So that really sucked today. It was just a constant RISP failures.
Yeah, I think your ebbs and flows, right? Like it's just kind of how the course of the season goes. Like I don't expect them to hit that poorly with runners in scoring position. I saw the statistic earlier that like even though they were that bad this weekend, they're like what, like 5th in OPS with runners in scoring position over the course of the year. So I don't think it's something that's sustainable to the point where like you're going to see this happen every single series with this Yankee team. Obviously, we know what they are. They're a super talented offense. They're missing kind of their bigger guns in Aaron Judge, Trent Grisham, and John Carlos Stanton right now. Yep. So you're going to see improvement on that end of the ball. And I still think that this is a talented group offensively regardless. And I didn't look at certain guys that should have been a lot better offensively this series that struggled mightily, right? Like Spencer Jones did not have a good series. Do I expect Spencer Jones to go out there and be otherworldly and be Aaron Judge? I do not. So what you're getting from him is like an upgrade when you see anything offensively. I expect you to be one of the worst hitters on this team. I don't expect you to be one of the best. So it's interesting from that perspective. The offense just kind of slept walked. Like I thought that they were fine Friday night. Like Rice had a really big weekend. He had the 2 home runs, which was great. Like Jason had a pretty good offensive series too. I also, Ryan, offensively, there was one thing that I did kind of like as far as what they ended up doing with their scouting department. As far as the stolen bases this weekend, they fully ran all over Tyler Stevenson and Jose Trevino. I know that that was a big thing, you know, late in Trevino's Yankee tenure was the noodle arm allegations. And just realistically, like he couldn't throw anybody out. I remember the game in Boston where what was like 8 or 9 guys were swiping bags. It was literally every single time they got on base, they were just running all over his Trevino. So that was one thing that I kind of liked this series is that they just kind of ran all over the Reds. However, when you're not able to cash in your chips, you're just not going to win baseball games, just kind of what it comes down to. So you kind of saw it on two different angles, right? So Saturday, they just get absolutely trounced. Like, it was an offensive explosion from the Reds. And then today you lose in the close game because you don't come through in those spots. So you saw it from both angles. But again, these are not problems that I see with this team. And I am thinking that they're long-standing issues. Like, I think that we're going to be fine tomorrow. I think that we're going to be fine this weekend and then over the next couple of months. Like, they're a really good offensive team. I think they had a bad series, and that's just kind of is what it, like, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's – the Yankees are – I mean, I was reading the stats off to you. They're top 10 with runners in scoring position in batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, OPS, OPS plus, right? Like, this sucks. This is a bad series, but much like anything in 162 games of regular season ball, you can have three games where it just doesn't go your way. You can have three games where you just don't do what you usually do. And that's what happened in this series. And again, yeah, they're banged up. You know, it's not a reason to not, it's not, it, there's no amount of injuries that should make you go 2-for-32.
No, those correct.
Yeah, correct. But you know, they've played well despite the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
They had one bad series. I'll give them the, kind of, I'm not going to do the whole rip my hair out, can't believe how bad this series was. I'm not happy about it, but I'll give them a mulligan if that makes sense.
Yeah, and the one thing that I also, like, I mentioned this to you earlier, like, I think fundamentally, like, you kind of lost on the pitching matchup department here. Like, obviously pushing Cole back the day, and you're throwing in Elmer against Chase Burns, who's been a top 10 pitcher on the planet this season. Like, he's been unbelievable out there in Cincinnati. Like, you logistically lose that matchup. Like, I think that Elmer is a good arm. I think that he will be good at the MLB level at some point in time, but you're never going to win that matchup, right? Like, Warren really struggled yesterday. You won your game on Friday with Cam, which is great, but I think optically you end up losing that game just because of when it comes down to the pitching matchup. So I'm not going to sit here and, like, freaking stress out about what this series was. I think it was just kind of on paper for them to lose this way. That's kind of how I felt last night when they made the big announcement of, you know, they were going to push Garrett back a day and Elmer was going to get the call up and start today. I'm like, I don't really love what you're doing there. I think the decision to push Cole back is fine, but like, for the series at hand, I look at him like, I'm not really sure if Elmer is going to be able to pump out what we think he's going to. Like, you only get 4-3 today, right? Like, which isn't optimal to win a baseball game. I think that if you only give up 3 runs in like a 5 or 6 inning start, makes sense. I think you're good. Your offense should be good enough to be able to win that baseball game. However, when you're facing Chase Burns, it's really tough, right? Like, and he was incredible today against that Yankee team. So it's like, I'm not going to slander you a ton right here. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And like the, again, it just wasn't a good series, right? Like that's just like, just lost a good series. It's one of those things where we're deep enough into the season where, not to say I'm not still learning things about this baseball team, it's June 21st. I don't know if they're going to win the division yet. I don't know if they're going to finish as the one seed. I don't know a lot of things. I think, right? Like, I believe, I project, things of that nature, but there's still things we're learning about this squad. With that being said, I do think I have a good understanding of what they are. I'm not learning about whether they can hit or not. I'm not learning about whether Cam Schuller is good or not. I guess today there was a little bit of learning, right? You're trying to see what Elmer can give you and what he can be. And like, I still think he's just a spot starter right now. Like, I don't think he's going to exceed that role in the depth chart, given not only the depth in front of him, but the depth coming back from the injured list in the foreseeable future. There are some injury updates on like Max Fried. He's going to be throwing a bullpen or he's going to be throwing or facing live hitters, I think, something like that, like at the end of this month or at the start of next month. So he's seemingly going to return this year. Schmidt's going to face live batters at the end of the month. Like, these all seem like the kinds of things that would indicate these two guys are going to come back and potentially be built up as starters. That's not really going to work in the favor of Elmer. I didn't think it was a great start. I didn't think it was the worst start I've ever seen in my life. It's kind of like work in progress, very much like, I mean, I can name how many starting pitchers where it's like they come up, work in progress, come down a couple times, come back up, and then they figure it out. Maybe it won't be here. That's the one thing, right? Like, maybe for Elmer, it's not going to end up being here. We'll get into that a little bit later, but that's really the only thing that was like, hey, I'm learning something about this team, or I'm learning something about somebody on this team. The same team that they were 2 weeks ago, same team that they were 2 months ago. They're a good baseball team that scores runs. They have a good rotation. They have a shaky bullpen. That's right. Like, I mean,
they've been the same team since August 1, 2025. Right. It's exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you could say Schuller's better, catcher's worse, Wells and Ascara. Ascara's even with the big league club anymore.
Yeah.
Like, very small things like on the margins there, but yeah, like, holistically, same team identity, same core concepts. They were on the bases better. I mean, they ran the bases well post deadline because of Cabby and some of the adjustments they made. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm going to be honest. And, you know, I told Sam and I talked about this before the show. So I don't know. I hope this doesn't disappoint you guys. We're going to talk for the hour, but it's not going to be a lot about this series. Like this really isn't going to be a lot about this series. It's not because I don't care about the series or that I don't want to talk about the team when they lose. It's more so just like, it doesn't feel like the most Yankee relevant thing that dropped this weekend. I don't know about you, Sam, but that's just how I feel about this. So if you have any final thoughts that you want to get off, please.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a couple of things that I just want to throw at you real quick. Camilo Duvall is like, I love the stuff, but like, my Lord, is he like the unluckiest pitcher on this roster? Kind of unbelievable, like the situations that he gets put in. Jason Dominguez is becoming unplayable in the outfield. Like, it is, there are some really just bad defensive miscues. Like, you saw the one Friday night where the ball just kind of goes in and out of his glove. There were two balls today that I thought he should have gotten to, the one late in that game, and then the weird like double off the wall where he just got a really bad jump. So I'm kind of interested to see how his role kind of unfolds. And like, I think it'll probably get to a point where it's going to be one of him or Jones that stays up. Right. And I think that when you look at who they want to keep up, I would assume it would be for the bat. So like, you're going to see like how they hit over the next month or so and who ends up staying on the big league roster. But Jason Dominguez in pretty much any outfield position is incredibly poor, whether it's right, yeah, whether it's center, whether it's left field. It's just not something that I think is A, going to work out in the short term, or B, I'm looking at the rest of the year and saying, yeah, like, he can start every day in left or right field or start in center field or like whatever. He is a legitimately like horrible defender in any outfield spot, whatever. Like, great DH fill him. Don't want to see you play outfield anymore. Like, it is unbelievably bad. I don't know if you want to kind of tap on that a little bit. I do have like two more notes I want to tap on. So if you're going to go J-Dom for a second.
I mean, I second everything you say about the glove, right? Like, the reads in this series were bad. He tried to throw the second and he completely misses and that could have been out number three, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm not trying to bail out Warren here. I think, like, I mean, the stats bail out Warren a little bit, right? Like, the earned run to runs discrepancy, it's six
for
runs,
sure,
to earned runs. Like, I guess I'm not really doing any bailing out here. And this wasn't the error that cost him the runs. But like, hey, man, I need you to hit that throw, right? Or like, let's get close. Like, that's a bad throw.
Yeah,
there are bad reads. There are bad jumps. Those are balls that need to be caught. Those are throws that need to be made. And, you know, we it's not that he's not a hard worker. Right. He's just a bad outfielder. And yeah, it's kind of like a Amed Rosario, where I know Joel Sherman mentioned this recently, and he's mentioned this before. It's not the only time he's mentioned this, where like, Amed Rosario's constantly taking ground balls before games. He's working his tail off and he still sucks out there. Right. Like, he's still a really bad defensive third baseman. He stinks at third. They're both good athletes. They both run well. The offense gives you something to look at. They both suck at defense, though. And in the case of Jason, like, he's really bad technically. He has such awful technical skills. I don't know if maybe it's a vision thing. I know he does wear glasses, I think. So maybe, I'm assuming he wears contacts on the field, but like, maybe
I think so.
They're not helping him. Like, I have no idea what it is. The one thing I will say is that when I saw him in the minor leagues as a center fielder, he was a disastrous center fielder. Mm-hmm. So this isn't like, oh, well, the Yankees moved him to a different position. That's what's hurting him. He's never been able to read the ball. So it just baffles me how the skill is this poor. It's unfortunate, man. It really is, because I mean, I think that's the reason why he hasn't consistently played in the big leagues, because it's a disaster out there, man. It really is.
Right.
It's unfortunate.
It's not new news, right? Like, we've known about this for, at this point, I think between 2 to 3 years, that he's just not a good defensive outfielder. Like, to the point where this year he literally got left off of the major league roster and they decided to roster Randall Grichuk because they were not comfortable giving him a spot on that everyday roster. So I love the bat. Like, I think that he's a great hitter. Like, I genuinely think that Jason Dominguez is a really good bat. However, what he brings you defensively is just so incredibly poor that I'm not sure where the spot is for you, right? Like, especially when you already have an everyday DH in Giancarlo Stanton when he comes back. When you have guys that are going to need DH days in like a Goldschmidt or a Rice or a Bellinger or a Judge when everybody's healthy, right? So, like, there isn't a designated hitter slot for him. He's incredibly poor defensively in the outfield. I'm not necessarily sure where the fit is. Next point that I have, Schlittler's going to like waltz to a Cy Young. right? Like probably the best start of his career. Friday night, I know it kind of gets jumbled up because like you could say the wild card start because of like the electricity in it, like how fun it was. And like, you know, obviously they move on to the next round. It was great. He's going to waltz to a Cy Young. Like the 13 strikeouts just completely like overbearing the Reds offense that the next day, you know, scored 10 runs and then dropped another four today. Like they scored 14 runs outside of seeing Camp Slitler. And he was just unbelievably dialed, dominant, set the career high. Just, it's so calming and composed. And if there were any other questions about who this team's best pitcher was or who their ace is, I think that it kind of got silenced that night. It's kind of been silenced for a minute, right? Like we all know what he is and what he brings to the table. He's unbelievable. It's just, it's a crazy talent. For the people that wouldn't trade Will Warren in these big boy packages, I'm talking about the Tarik Skubal, talking about the Adley Rutschman, those kind of things that we've kind of thrown out on social media. I'm just going to tell you to just kind of eat it, right? Like Will Warren is a player that he's the five or six guy in this current rotation. And I will trade him at kind of at ease. Like I'm perfectly okay with that. So for the people on social media that are freaking out about it, like him and Weathers is another one too, that like kind of get jumbled up as like, we don't need to trade those guys. Like we're good. They can both go if you're going to get an improvement on this roster. Didn't look great yesterday. Perfectly okay with that. Last point, I did last week kind of get on Rice a little bit after Judge's been hurt. Like I just kind of went through the numbers as far as like what he had been since Judge went down. You're getting pitched to the best player on the planet. He's been a lot better. The two home runs this weekend, looks much better offensively. My questions are starting to deteriorate with Ben Rice. He looks great again. That's kind of my bow on what this series was.
Yeah, I want a second with Ben Rice real quick. 173 WRC plus. We're slugging over 600. We're hitting 290. We got 22 home runs. We've got 53 RBIs. Like advanced stats, traditional stats. He's played 70 games. Let's say he plays 150. That's like a fair number here. He's going to hit like 45 home runs of like 110, 120 RBIs with a OPS of like 1,000 or like in the upper 900s. That's just a really pretty slash line. I will say that the glove at first has kind of disappointed me. He's been really bad out there. Like today was there was a really bad play out there. Like I'm going to be honest, I'm disappointed by the team defense in general. Like the team has really let me down defensively a little bit where like I thought that could be a thing they excel at or at least we're good at. And like I've been let down. I thought they could clean that stuff up. They're still not a good defensive team. I'm not saying that makes them not a good baseball team, but they are a bad defensive team. And I feel comfortable saying that at this point. And then with Camp Schlittler, he's the best pitcher. So, you know, you'll kind of hear me. Like, I think I've been kind of talking a little monotone in the criticisms just because I don't take much joy in it. Right. Like I can give me my evals. Like I had a nice long doc prepared, for just everything in this show. I love being able to just like smile and talk about Camp Schlittler though. Cause like that's, we can pinpoint, is it Cashman? Is it Blake? Is it Schlittler? Who is it? You know, I think you just kind of take a step back first and foremost. It's everybody, right? Top down. That's how you get a guy like Camp Schlittler. And this applies to Ben Rice as well. But you get a guy like Camp Schlittler because you've got great scouts, because you have a really good data model for your draft philosophy. Because when you go through minor league development, you've got all the tools accessible to these players. And when you find the guy with the right makeup and the right talent and the right upside and the right skill set and a little bit of luck, they turn into superstars. And right. Camp Schlittler's a superstar. He's a joy to watch. I mean, just seeing him paint front hip sinkers left and right. He is a power pitcher who I think is incredibly intelligent, very heady. I think it's, you know, even Garrett Cole can kind of get in on the credit pool a little bit, not like more than like 2% here, but
the influence
of Garrett Cole is prevalent here. You see a guy who's fearless, ferocious, hates walking guys, ultra competitive. He's getting pumped up striking out a guy against the Reds in a series in June. That's the competitor in him. He's the ace of this staff. And I'll be honest, right? Like it's going to take a lot. It's going to take almost an unprecedented kind of outcome for me to not consider Camp Schlittler the ace. He's earned the title for weeks now, but I truly, for as much as I've lamented the things I didn't like in this series, I really want to emphasize how special Camp Schlittler is and how much of a privilege it is that we get to watch him pitch for our team every 5 days. It's a privilege, man. It really is.
Yeah, and it's crazy. I tweeted out the other night that he's going to waltz to a Cy Young. Like, it's not even going to be a close race at this point in time. Like, when you look at it statistically, it's legitimately, like, not even close. Like, who's been the second most impressive starter in the American League? Like, Drew Rasmussen, like, with sitting around 2.8. Like, and I'm not going to discredit what Rasmussen's been for Tampa Bay. He's been awesome for them this year. Like, but before that, it was what, like, Davis Martin. And then Davis Martin gave up 9 against the Yankees last week. So it kind of just inflated his numbers to a T. So, like, he just kind of got knocked out of contention after one start, which is nuts. But, like, he's going to waltz to it, right? Like, I think that it would, for him not to win it, it would just be like some sort of catastrophic breakdown where, like, it's just, you know, he completely falls apart, which I don't envision seeing happening. It's super sustainable. His bad starts are quality starts, right? Like, I think that that's the one thing that you can kind of drive home with Cam is a bad start for him is 6-3 or 7-3. Like, that is like the floor of what Cam Sutler is. The peak of it is 6-13 strikeouts, no runs given up. Like, it's unbelievable, right? Like, what you're seeing from Cam Sutler every day. So they are at this point in time where they have 4 legitimate, like, frontline starters that they can throw out every 5 days. And it puts you at such an advantage because, like, and granted, back to what I was talking about earlier, when you look at Pitt, like, so when you and I sit down and we do series previews, right? What is the most important thing when we look at series previews? It's the starting pitching matchups, okay? That's how I pick those games. I'm like, okay, I like that matchup for them. I don't like that matchup for them. That's how I think they're going to win baseball games. When you're the New York Yankees and 4 of your 5 starting pitchers, you can sit there and confidently say, yeah, we're going to win that game. We're good. We're fine. Against anybody else in Major League Baseball, you're in a really good spot as a baseball team, right? And then, like, you've gotten awesome stuff from Weathers this year. You've gotten awesome stuff from Warren at points in time this year. So their depth and the talent in that room is unbelievable, and it's anchored by a guy like Cam Sutler, who's been the most impressive pitcher in the American League.
Yeah, again, it's also he leads the American League in innings pitched. That's, again, just privilege. It's a privilege, right? Like, it really is a privilege to watch such a great starting pitcher. Guys appreciate it, right? You know, I think of, like, 2023 Garrett Cole, and, you know, it was a great pitching season. It was during a year where the Yankees, like, his starts only mattered for his hardware, not for anything else. And not to say it doesn't make the season awesome for Cole, but it hurts so much to kind of know that you weren't sure if you'd ever see someone as good as Garrett Cole at that. You were never sure if Garrett Cole would ever be that good again. I'm pretty confident saying he'll never win another Cy Young in his career because of the age and just, like, how good everybody else is. I mean, Cam Sutler's in his league. As things stand right now, Tarek Skubal's in his league, right? So, you know, to see that wasted on an 82-win team is devastating. Correct. Cam Sutler's doing it on a great team. So, I almost sound like a guy who's, like, waxing poetic about a guy who's, like, on the way out. I'm just so appreciative of great starting pitching, and I really enjoy watching Cam Sutler start. I think it's a good point to kind of talk about some of the star pitching stuff. Is that fair to say, Sam?
100%. Here's the thing, right? Like, I mentioned that you're, like, you know, 4 out of every 5 days, I think you can, like, lock wins, right? Like, I think that Rodon gets a little shaky at points and times, right? But, like, they're kind of in a unique opportunity where you can make it 5-5. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, man. I think, you know, I'm gonna read off kind of what the report was from Ken Rosenthal. And, you know, it's very kind of like, look, guys, we're still super early in this process. You know, nothing's definite. But, you know, Rosenthal listed the Yankees as teams that he expects to at least show exploratory interest or, like, explore a deal for Tarek Skubal. Obviously, again, it's June 21st. The Yankees could suffer a slew of injuries that alter their desperation. The Dodgers could suffer a slew of injuries. Other teams could have things pop up that force them to be far more active in this thing. But, look, the Yankees, for every issue I could think of, catcher, bullpen, you want to talk about the infield, there is nobody you will find who will impact the New York Yankees' odds of winning the World Series more than Tarek Skubal. And I will go as far as to say that if you do not want Tarek Skubal on the roster, you cannot complain about what the 2026 Yankees do in October. If you do not want Tarek Skubal on the roster, your main priority is not winning a World Series championship at all costs. You have ulterior motives, which is fine. Not judging you for that. I'm just saying If your goal is to win the 2026 World Series, you put Tarek Skubal in game one, Cam Schlittler in game two, Garrett Cole in game three, and Max Fried in game four, and you go out and you absolutely destroy the American League. You go to the World Series, and when it's you and the Dodgers, you're the favorites. They're the underdogs. And you give yourself a nice chance to go out and win a World Series, which would vindicate everything that has ever happened in the Aaron Judge, Aaron Boone era. That's all I have to say on that to intro.
Yeah, so Skubal gives you the unique opportunity to do two things here, right? If you're able to trade for Tarek Skubal right now and you slot him into, you know, your end of the season rotation and then your playoff rotation in October, the one thing that he does give you, one of two things that he does give you, is he gives you cemented the best rotation in the sport, right? Being able to roll out Skubal, Schlittler, Fried, Cole, and then even Rodon if you need a five guy at the back end is unprecedented. It would be one of the greatest rotations that you would ever see in the history of the sport. You are the favorites in every single game that you would play. You wouldn't lose baseball games. It limits your bullpen usage as far as right now, this is a bullpen that we do not love. But I think that if you give them another playoff starter that can go seven or eight innings, it completely takes away a lot of the factors of how bad that bullpen's been this year. And you have multiple starters that can do that, right? Like, I think Cam can do it. I think Max can do it. I'm not really sure if Cole can do it anymore, but I know that Skubal can do it. You're presented with the opportunity of having three ace-level guys in your rotation that can go out and win you a ball game no matter what. You automatically become the favorites to win a championship, right? And the second thing that Tarek Skubal gives you is you have him and nobody else does. So when Skubal gets dealt this summer, I think it's inevitably going to happen. That Tigers team is really bad. They're 14 games under .500. It's not going to happen this year for him, right? I think that wherever he gets dealt, I think that team wins the World Series. I think whether it is Los Angeles, I think whether it is like Philadelphia, whether it's Seattle, whether it's Toronto, I think that that team automatically becomes the favorite to win the World Series this year. He will be the biggest factor in a pennant race in both the American League and the National League. It puts you over the top. You then become, I think, the best team in your separate conference. And say he goes to Toronto, right? If they end up trading him to Toronto, I love what Toronto is at that point in time, because at that point, you really like what their starting pitching is. They proved it last October that that's really what carried them to a World Series Game 7 against the Los Angeles Dodgers last year. And what ends up playing Ryan in the postseason is great pitching and great defense. You need a good offense. You got to be able to hit, right? Like that's perfectly okay. Good pitching beats good offense every single time. And if you're able to stack the deck with those four or five guys that can just win you a postseason series no matter what, and you're presented with the opportunity for a franchise that has not won a World Series in over a decade, and the last time you got there, you were completely embarrassed, push your chips all in. This is the time. Aaron Judge's prime is only so long. Garrett Cole's prime is only so long. Max Fried's prime is only so long. Giancarlo Stanton's only going to be on this team for God knows how long. Everybody, it's a very small window. Capitalize on your window. Go get the best pitcher on the planet and put him on your roster. You have to do this.
Everyone goes the Yankees' strong suit or their biggest strength is their starting pitching. Sam, I think you're absolutely spot on when it comes to your evaluation of how Skubal would impact other teams. If you polled everybody in baseball, let's say you just pull 100 random people who follow baseball and you ask them, where's Skubal going at this year's trade deadline? I'm not saying everybody, but I think the most frequent choice would be the Los Angeles Dodgers. There's one team in baseball that has a better ERA than the New York Yankees in their rotation. Just one. It's the Los Angeles Dodgers, folks. Am I missing something here? Why should the Yankees not follow the path the Dodgers are following? Why should the Yankees not do or attempt to do what the Dodgers will almost certainly attempt to do? We're talking about winning a championship. And I know I'm kind of making a cross sport reference here, which I think are usually poor references to make because sports are just different across sports. Sam, there was something about seeing the Knicks win a championship that it was a freeing feeling. I can cite so many moments as a Knick fan, so many painful losses during the regular and postseason in the Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, Carl Anthony, whatever player you want to list era, and they all washed away. I was at a party yesterday with a couple of my buddies. Shout out my boy, Ethan. He writes for ESM, graduated Annals' birthday, so shout out, Ethan. And we're just talking freely about those losses because they didn't matter anymore. Because the joy, the jubilation of a parade and everything, it is truly worth all of it. It's worth the 6 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. It's worth the $50-plus million to Carl Anthony Towns per season. It's worth everything, everything. For the New York Yankees to land Tarik Skubal, it is worth everything. If they win a championship, there is not a single inning that Carlos DeGrande could pitch for the Tigers, a single game that Dax Kilby could play in Comerica Park, a single start or season that Will Warren could possibly have that could make me ever regret trading for Tarik Skubal. Because here's the thing, Yankee fans, he's not a probability to get traded. It's not probable. It is certain. He will pitch for a contender this season. Do you want it to be you? Where do you want your chair to be? Do you want it to be on a parade float or do you want it to be in a corner in a hotel room? That's all I'll say. We have a super chat here, so I do want to get to that. And I want to, you know, shout out John, $2 super chat. Really appreciate it, John. Thank you so much. And I know you watch all our streams, so I appreciate it. More important, second half, you know, I'd Tanner Freed is interesting to me. I don't know if you want to chime in real quick on that.
I think that they're both kind of in interesting spots. Listen, it's kind of contingent on this, right? Like literally what we're talking about here. So I think if you trade for Skubal, I think it becomes Stanton, but then I think the opposite, right? So like if you trade for Skubal, obviously you're then slotting somebody ahead of Max Fried. So the situation kind of becomes a little bit different. I will say, I think my concrete answer is probably Giancarlo Stanton, just because again, it's another health issue, right? Like it's another problem to the point where if he comes back and he's hitting, I'm perfectly okay with that. But if he comes back and slumps and it's just like kind of just another waste, you know what I mean? On this roster, not going to love it. So I think that my answer is probably Stanton here.
You know, I think you could sell me either way. The case I'll make for Fried is that if Max Fried's on for the postseason, he's like dynamite, you're going to win those games.
For sure.
Because if he's going like game two, game three, he's better than any game two, game three starter when he's on. And, you know, this is the argument again I'm going to make for Skubal. Like, I think it ties back to this because you win ball games on great starting pitching. I think there's something so foolish about the idea that trading for Ryan Jeffers is more important than acquiring Tarik Skubal. And we'll get to Jeffers later. I don't dislike Ryan Jeffers, but I want somebody to try and name me the combination of baseball players that the New York Yankees are reasonably going to acquire who will have a greater impact on the chances of them winning a World Series than Tarik Skubal. Please, I need to know who it is. And I've presented this to you too. Would you rather have Kyle Gashioka and Tarik Skubal or Carlos Rodon and Austin Wells or Ryan Jeffers? Ryan Jeffers and Carlos Rodon. I'd rather have Higashioka and Skubal than Jeffers and Rodon. And this is not a diss at Carlos Rodon. I'll go this far. This is how far I'm willing to go, Sam. The gap between a healthy Austin Wells and Ryan Jeffers is smaller than the gap between Carlos Rodon and Tarik Skubal in the postseason. That's how far I'm willing to go. Because Jeffers is not a great defensive catcher. You're importing him from a different team. And I love Rodon, man. I do. He's awesome. It's a great story. He's a great ambassador for the team. I love the foundation that he and his wife have. It's like, I cannot tell you enough good things about Rodon, the person, and I admire what he is as a player. Tarik Skubal, if Tarik Skubal faced Carlos Rodon in the playoff game, Sam, what are the odds the Yankees are winning that playoff game? Let's say Skubal's on the Rays. What are the odds of the Yankees winning that baseball game?
You lose that game.
Okay.
You lose that game.
What are the odds of you winning a baseball game if Skubal's starting versus like Nick Martinez, but oh no, you have Austin Wells hitting ninth for you? I'm not saying I want Austin Wells to play. I'm just saying like people are acting as if like the catcher you're going to acquire is so much better than every player in the league, is so damn good that they alone are going to win you a baseball game. Ali Sanchez is giving you like a 90 OPS plus, and it feels like I've got Barry Bonds back there.
Yeah, no, literally.
You just need a guy who's going to keep it moving. Just keep the offense moving.
Right.
I'm not saying it's going to be Wells. I'm just giving you an example of like, I'll take good defense, 90 OPS plus for cheap. I'll do that. If I get Skubal.
Well, I think that, so you asked me that question about Scooble versus anybody. It's the exact same answer, right? Like that is the, it's the unique advantage that the Tigers have had in their last two postseason runs is we have the best pitcher in this matchup. We can throw him at you whenever we want to. We know we're going to get CG Shuddy in a playoff series from Tarek Skubal. It's a unique advantage that they've had. That's why they were able to go so far in 24 and then in 25 again too, right? So I think like he's been such a benefit to what they are. Imagine him in a rotation with those guys, right? It's an unbelievable asset to have. And I think that when you look around the league, and I think that you see these teams in the American League specifically, if they were to get their paws on Scooble, like I'm not sure if you win that series. Like, I don't know if he goes to Toronto and you win a series. I think you probably lose the series. I'm not sure if he goes to Seattle and they get their paws on him. Like, I don't know if you win that series. Like, even with Tampa Bay, who like have not been great as of late, I'm not sure if he goes to Tampa Bay. I don't know if you win that series. I do not know. I think he is the biggest factor in this pennant run in both the American League and the National League, depending on where he goes. And he brings you like this. This is okay. Let me ask you a question, Ryan. Do you care that the Yankees traded Michael King?
No, I don't. It's the best trade. Trading Michael King for Juan Soto is the best thing that Brian Cashman has ever done.
Yes. I do not care that they traded away Michael King because they got Juan freaking Soto and they went to the World Series. It does not matter. Like, I'm not sitting here 2 years later. Damn, we should have kept Michael King. That would have been awesome. Why did we trade him? No, I am perfectly okay with how 2024 went. They went to the World Series. Like, that's, I have no take backs, and I do not care if you have to, like, whatever you have to trade, I'm not going to look back at it in 5 years. If the Yankees won a World Series this year and get upset, what? We should have kept Dax Kilby. We should have kept LeGrande. Oh, we should have kept Lombard. I'm not going to say that because you win a ring. And also, dude, I'm not going to care if he walks. I do not care if he walks. He comes here, wins a ring, and walks in free agency and gets $500 million. I do not care. I have my ring. I am fine. Like, I am completely okay with whatever you want to do. You come here, you win a World Series, there's no negatives about it whatsoever. Whether it's from a prospect perspective or whether it's him walking in the offseason, it does not matter. You win a World Series. That's the bottom line.
I can even say this too, right? When's the last time a top 10 to 15 global prospect at the time of being traded got traded for a rental? Like, who's the best prospect you remember getting traded for a rental?
I don't know.
Like the whole big deal was like Gleyber in 2016. And I decided to look back. I was like, okay, what was Gleyber entering like at the time of trade, right? Which is an important distinction to make. What was he at the time of trade? Entering 2016, he was the 41st best prospect in baseball and Baseball America. He was 28th in Major League Baseball, 41st on Baseball Prospectus. It was when he came to the Yankees that he popped and became this like elite level prospect. So for example, when the Cubs had traded him, he was in high A. Mm-hmm. He had a 791 OPS in high A. He popped in the fall league as a 19-year-old. He then goes on and like sees a serious boost in prospect stock. He was not George Lombard Jr. level good or like as valuable in the trade market at the time of trade. Same thing with Clint Frazier. Same thing with X, Y, and Z. Whatever prospect you want to mention, these guys don't get traded. Mason Miller got Leo DeVry. Mason Miller, 5 years of Mason Miller. Juan Soto.
Oh my God.
What did Juan Soto? Who's the Drew Thorpe is the best prospect we traded for Juan Soto. Yeah. I understand we traded major league pieces, but this is what I'm going to get into here real quick because I think this is actually I think the Yankees actually match up well with the Tigers. Warren's got 4 more years of control after this year. Will Warren is an imperfect starting pitcher. Yes, Will Warren is not Cam Schlittler. No duh. He's got 3.45 ERA this year. He's striking out 25% of batters face. He's got a 3.36 FIP. He's got 5 more years of control after this one. Who name me the starting pitcher who's going to get offered a Tarek Skubal deal who has as much control as him and has as much major league success as him? I don't know who that guy is.
I don't have an answer. And you and I went and like we surveyed the league for it too, right? Like who matches up the best with Detroit? And the two teams that match up the best with Detroit are the two teams that have the lowest ERAs in the sport. And they're probably the two teams that down the line, that's who it's going to be. It's going to be the Dodgers and it's going to be the Yankees. And you have to win that war. Like, I'm winning. Like, you have to win that war if you're the Yankees, right? Like, the Dodgers have a cakewalk through the National League. Like, they're the best team, hands down. Their first 50 wins, they're unbelievable, right? Like, we all know how good the Dodgers are. But, like, from a need standpoint, as far as to topple the Dodgers, Yankees get Scooble, you beat the Dodgers. I think you beat the Dodgers, right?
Yep.
If the Dodgers get Scooble, nobody touches them. They don't lose a playoff game. Like, it doesn't happen, right? So, like, from a need-to-need perspective, the Yankees probably need Scooble more. Obviously, there's other teams that need Tarik Scooble more, but I don't think that they match up as well. And also, guys, listen, the Tigers are going to take the best deal that's available to them. It does not matter if it's the Dodgers. It does not matter if it's the Yankees, okay? They will take the deal that is best available to them. They're not just going to send him to the Rays just because it's the Rays and it's like whatever, right? Like, they're not just going to send him to Seattle just because. They will send him to the Yankees if the Yankees offer the best deal. And the Yankees are in a unique scenario where they can offer the best deal and they match up perfectly well with what Detroit would want right now and into the future with the prospect capital. So it's got to be a thing that happens, Ryan. It has to be up top of your wish list. I do not want to see them bow out of this race. They need to be in this till the end of it, and they need to secure this.
Yeah, again, I look at Scooble, and I look at him as a game changer in the sense that he just makes you better than everybody else. He just does. And one last note I'll make here, for those worried about, well, he's going to leave, Juan Soto left, right? Juan Soto left. I'd make that trade every single time. That trade was worth it.
100%.
That trade was worth it. Like, that trade was worth it. It was a great Brian Cashman trade. That gets an A. I put an A on it.
Yep.
A plus.
And like, I mean, what? Okay, so the two biggest assets in that deal were what?
King and Thorpe.
And what are they?
Guy who, like, King is good.
They're starting pitchers.
Yeah,
they're starting pitchers. Like,
you traded four pitchers in that deal.
Do you think? Yeah, they traded Vasquez and Brito.
Yep,
they traded four pitchers in that deal. Do you think the Yankees have a problem with trading four pitchers back then? Right now,
absolutely not. Games. Like, they did on a team that won 82 games.
Yeah, like you're good. Like, you're perfectly fine. Like, do you think the Cubs look at the Chapman deal? They're like, damn, we should have never traded Glaber. No, absolutely not. They won a World Series. And guess where Chapman went that offseason?
Back to the Yankees.
He came back to the Yankees. Do you think the Cubs care about that? No. They won a World Series. It does not matter. If you can make a move to win a World Series, you make the move to win the World Series. You don't sit in the corner. You make the play happen right then.
The Yankees traded 232 and two-thirds innings pitch of 3.37 ERA ball on a team that year that had 3.97 ERA, which was ninth. So they were a good pitching staff, and they traded a good glut of the reason they were good, and including their second-best starting pitcher at the time, who they replaced with Marcus Stroman, and they went to the World Series.
Marcus Stroman.
Caleb Ferguson replaced Brito's innings.
Victor Gonzalez. Gill, Clark Schmidt. Like,
yeah.
So, Rodon going into 24. Was like,
yes.
This guy stinks. Like, this is Bovano, right? Like, that's the conversation that was around Rodon. But, like, you were good, and he was good. Like, you're fine. It's not a problem.
So, I would also point out, every time they've made a move that's, like, going all in, kind of, like, question whether you should be going that all in or not. It's always worked out better than just bowing out. Bellinger. 100%. Crazy contract to hand out, right? Like $42 million this year. It's a $44 million AAV deal, dude. Are you upset that the Yankees got him instead of settling and doing some platoon with like Austin Hayes and Jason Dominguez?
And Grichik.
Hey, Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham gets paid $22 million this year. Do you wish that Jason would play the outfield every day instead?
Absolutely not. I wish the exact opposite.
Max Fried signed an 8-year deal at $218 million, the richest contract ever handed out to a left-handed starting pitcher. Sam, do you wish he signed Blake Snell instead or Corbin Burns?
Expensive as hell. Do not care.
The Yankees gave out the largest pitching contract ever at the time. $324 million, 9 years. Do you regret a single penny?
Absolutely not.
The Yankees paid a 6'7" outfielder in his 30s, 9 years, $360 million. His name's Aaron Judge. Do you care?
Absolutely not.
The Yankees traded four pitchers in Kale Gashioka, including their second best starting pitcher and a guy who finished, I think, 10th in Cy Young voting for Juan Soto, and then he left for the New York Mets. Do you regret it?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Can someone point out the time where going all in hasn't worked for them?
Hey, listen, this is a cash god. Do me a job. Like, it's, you know, what's funny is, like, you run through that. That's just like, that's Cashman resume. That's cash god resume right there.
It's his best work. His 100%. Shittiest work is when, you know what his shittiest work is? Trading for Jake Bird. Trading for J.A. Happ signing him. That's his shitty work. His shitty work's when he, like, goes and he gets a mid-market player who doesn't belong on a World Series contender, and then he ensures their spot on the roster. That's his worst work. His best work is when he goes all in.
You know what it is, though? Because, like, I look at the Rodon deal, and I like the Rodon deal. Like, I think it's a fine deal. Like, it is what it is. I think that after 20... So, I think that after 21... So, like, after the Donaldson trade, right? Like, and after, like, kind of, dude, like, the 22 deadline was such a disaster when you look back at it, right? After the 22 deadline, that boy locked in. He locked in. Like, he has not made a trade that was, like, unbelievably catastrophic to the point where it's like, hey, like, this was really expensive. We hated what we got out of this player. Like, it's the bad trades are Jake Bird. That's a bad trade, right? Like, he stinks.
What was, like, the downside of you in making the bad? The Gallo trade was bad. It ended up being a bad deal. The Montas deal ended up being a bad deal. Like, what? Am I confused as to what was the consequence? Just the opportunity cost of not getting somebody better. That's it, right? Like, it's just, you didn't get the right guy. It wasn't, oh my God, your farm system sucked and the Yankees spiraled out of control and they're still recovering. It just didn't work.
I mean, who's the best prospect they've traded over the last 5 years?
Honestly, the deal that will end up going down as their worst probably is they traded Christian Zueta for Caleb Ferguson, I think. And he is he's going to be a top 100 pitching prospect in baseball. He's sick. He's ridiculous. But you know what I'll also say about that too? Like, that's you going, hey, let me go trade for some random reliever instead of, like, putting balls on the table. Let's go get a dog. Let's go pay a dog.
Yeah.
Right. That's playing scared, right? There's risk in anything they do. The Yankees, we'll talk about Jeffers for a little bit too. Like, if the Yankees trade for Ryan Jeffers, they risk trading a guy who ends up being awesome for half a season of a guy who could suck. They run that risk. If they trade for Jeffers, they either have to pay him or then trade for another catcher and give up more prospects. So, like, we don't talk about that when it's not Tarik Skubal for some reason. It's very weird. It's like, well, he's a rental. Jeffers is a rental. His hamate bone is currently in two pieces. I guess now it's in one piece.
But
it's
been fine
in two pieces for like a month.
But that's even riskier of a deal than trading for Skubal. Like, it is.
Yes.
Because we've seen players get destroyed by the hamate bone thing.
Yes.
Right. Like, look at what Andrew Benintendi is. Mm-hmm. Andrew Benintendi is a bench piece for the White Sox. Like, he's a bench piece. He was horrible for the first couple of years out there. So, like, that destroyed what he was as a hitter. And we don't know what Jeffers is going to be. Like, I need to see. So I think he'll probably be back. I think Jeffers will probably be back in like a week or two, right? I need to see Ryan Jeffers when he comes back. I need to see him hit well. Because if Ryan Jeffers doesn't hit well and he looks bad because of the hamate bone thing, I'm a little uneasy on trading for him. Because that's what he brings you, right? Like, the upside that Ryan Jeffers brings you as a catcher is he's an incredible offensive piece. Like, he can hit fifth or sixth for you every single day. Like, I'm pretty comfortable with that. He's right-handed. They obviously need right-handed catching in the worst way, to the point where they're playing Ally Sanchez every other day. So, like, and I don't love what Ally Sanchez is. Like, he's not like a bad baseball player by any means, but, like, he's not what Ryan Jeffers is, right? Like, what you're getting out of Ryan Jeffers isn't like incredible defense. You're getting the bat is what you're trading for. And that's the one thing that you're looking at with the hamate bone thing. And if it looks bad when he comes back, then I'm going to start asking questions to the point where I'm going to get uneasy about trading for him. And then I might opt to not trade for him, because I'd rather not trade for Jeffers if he looks bad and it's a thing that's really affecting him, than just nuking it and be like, yeah, like, we're good. That's fine. Like, But there is more, and you bring up a great point, Riley. There's more risk in trading for Jeffers off of the Hammond bone thing than trading like a haul for Tarik Skubal. It is what it is. Prospects are prospects until they're not. Like, I don't know. Like Dax Kilby's been hurt for the entire year.
Yeah.
He's been hurt for the entire year. Nobody talks about that. We just talk about, well, he's top 100 prospect, Dax Kilby. He hasn't played this year. We don't even know what he is, right? LeGrande, listen, realistically, got blown up as a starter. I think that he plays long-term as a really good reliever. I don't think that he plays as a six-inning flamethrower starter. Like, it is what it is. To me, he looks like a bullpen arm right now. Like, that's what it is. George Lombard Jr. could be great, but we don't know. Their prospects are prospects until they're not. Until they're in the big leagues, until you've shown me something at the big league level, I do not care. You can trade those guys for Tarik Skubal. Like, it does not matter.
I will also say this. None of you will have the patience to go through the waiting process of importing four or five rookies onto a major league roster while Aaron Judge is 35.
No.
None of you will have the patience for it. And honestly, look, man, I hate to do this, right? I really do. And I finally found the quote. Brian Cashman, after they traded for Juan Soto, said he wanted the Yankees to be the mecca of baseball. Yoshinobu Yamamoto signed with the Dodgers 2 weeks later. That one signing is why the Yankees didn't win the 2024 World Series. He then gives the Dodgers a 2025 World Series. Yoshinobu Yamamoto wanted to be a Dodger more than he wanted to be a Yankee or a Met, and he nailed it. He was dead on accurate. He made the right choice. He picked the right team. That should kill you. That should tear all of you up inside. That the Yankees that you grew up with, the team, the big bad Yankees, when a big free agent's out there, he's a Yankee or they're going to be in. When a star gets traded, either he's a Yankee or they're going to be in. And you're sitting back and you're saying, well, we can't get Skubal because the Dodgers are going to get Skubal. And so we shouldn't even try. You're not the mecca of baseball then. And you haven't been the mecca of baseball the last few years. You haven't been the mecca of baseball in two decades. I have the standard, and I will never let it go, of this team should go win a World Series. This is a good enough team to make that investment into. I'm not sitting here and asking you to destroy the farm system to trade for Skubal. I'm asking you to be in. And I'm asking you as a fan base to trust me when I say this. You are all kind of like, I think everyone, including myself, including you, Sam, are all kind of guarding ourselves against wanting to believe this is something the Yankees can and should do. Because at the end of the day, we all feel deep down it's not going to happen. And that instead of saying this should happen and this needs to happen, and we're the damn Yankees, it's, okay, let's kind of like prepare to be disappointed. I'm tired of that. I'm not good. That does not satisfy me. I am not going. That is not what the Yankees are about. That's not what they should be about. I'm sorry. And if that's the standard, that we're saying no to Skubal because Ryan Jeffers is out there, because Anthony Bender is out there, because there's an off chance that the Yankees could go out and trade for, take Josh Hader's contract. I like these players. They're good players. That's blasphemy. That's not about winning a World Series. It's about protecting yourself. And there's only one entity that can control whether they're in or out on this, and it's the Yankees. They have the pieces. They can at least make an offer. They at least have a conversation and keep the Tigers on the phone. They can't make the deal. I don't know if they can make the deal and keep the Tigers on the phone. It's up to whether they want to do it or not. Sam, any final thoughts on Skubal?
No. Realistically, I should get it done. Right. Like, it's there for the taking. You have the prospect capital to be able to do it. I also think that they want guys that will contribute to the big league roster right now, plus the prospect capital. I think the Yankees have that. They match up incredibly well. You just have to win the bidding war at the end of the day. And also with Jeffers, hey, like, you scare me. Got to see you come back and hit well. If Jeffers comes back, doesn't hit well, I'm kind of out on Jeffers. Then I'm in on like a Higashioka, which, like, I don't care if down the line it's Higashioka and Skubal, and that's your deadline. Cool with that. Don't care. Awesome. Get me Tarik Skubal. I'm feeling great. So, it's going to be a fun next like month of just rumors and spat, and we're going to hear a ton of names. So I'm sure that we're going to be all over that and cover it to the gills.
Yeah. I mean, I'll touch on Jeffers a little bit here just to say, like, obviously it makes us better. He's a really good catcher. He's a good hitter, Not, I don't know how it's going to work with the defense, but he has a connection with Tanner Swanson.
Yeah,
this is either like a Eugenio Suarez where we're just like linked to him like crazy and we actually don't get him, or it's a situation where we're actually in, like we actually really want this guy, and like that's going to be the guy we get. That's hilarious. I'm saying we're either going to get him or not. Okay.
Feels, great feels analysis. Like a pirate. Feels like a pirate, dude. If they decide to buy, I think they nuke him.
It makes sense.
That's like they're like the only other team that makes sense.
It's the catching market's going to be interesting because teams don't like bringing catchers midseason.
No,
and I'm curious to see whether the Yankees will buck that trend. They don't do it either.
I mean, it seems like they don't do it. Right. Like all indications that we've kind of gotten have been, hey, like they're going to do it. And this is why I threw Higashioka's name on the table is because he's hit lefties really well this year. Kind of gives you exactly what you want offensively. And this is a guy that's familiar with your coaching staff. He's familiar with your pitching staff to the point where while it is going to be a difficult transition, while it's some guys he's never worked with before, you're bringing him back into this exact same system, which he played in for what, damn near like a decade, right? Like he was here for forever. So he's kind of the natural name that I lean to that's not Ryan Jeffers, and I think would like make a ton of sense bringing him back onto this team, which like I'm fine with what like Ally Sanchez and the combo of like Austin Wells and Ascara are, but like you're going to look to upgrade, and all indications have kind of told us that they're going to this summer. So I think that he's like the natural name that I kind of lean towards. It's not Ryan Jeffers.
Yeah, that's fair. I think a guy like, again, like I'd do anything for Higashioka. And if it means
you know how crazy that sounds?
Because it's like at the end of the day, dude, at the end of the day, if you look at this offense, like I really don't care what the public thinks anymore. Like I know what this offense is. They've been good all year. The goalposts get moved. They go from start of the season, they're not going to be good. First couple of weeks, they weren't good, so they're actually not going to be good. Then they turn up the burners. They're a good offense. They're hitting with front of scoring position. They hit in high leverage, up, down. They have a pretty deep lineup, all things considered. And now the goalpost is, well, I got to see you in October. Cool. I'll see you in October. You know, this team just needs not a 50. I threw this out. Like, I need an OPS plus above the age you can receive Social Security benefits. Like, that's
right. Yeah.
The barometer. And can you call a game? We're going to run a quick ad break here, and then we'll do Aspen Vodka Player of the Series. I think it's a good time for us to kind of take a break. We've been talking at you guys for like an hour. We'll be back in like 90 to 100 seconds. So, could just said a minute 45. I feel like one of those people who's like 14 months old. Ad read, Prize Picks. Let's do it.
Let me tell you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one sports pick app. It is a daily fantasy sports platform, and it's distinctly separate from sports betting. The app is super easy to use. Just pick more or less on a few players' stats to build and lock in your lineups for the day. It's available in most states in the U.S., including California, Texas, and Florida. Let me show you just how easy it is to build a lineup. Let's look at some of the players that are going to be in today's slate of games. Mike Trout has been red hot. I think I'm going to take more 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBIs. Press more right there. We just got to select two more players, and I think that's how we're going to build our lineup out. Sal Stewart has been red hot. He'll be facing the Giants today, and I'm going to select more on that one as well. And then Braxton Ashcraft. I mean, this guy is nasty. 3.5 Ks, Washington Nationals. I like more here. And with this nice little lineup here, we can clock it in. All you got to do is scroll down, press submit lineup, and look at how easy that is. Our lineup is now put together. Let's go check it out. I like my slate here. And if you guys want to tell my picks and tell my lineups and see how I'm doing, you can follow me at Ryan Garcia ESM on Prize Picks. And if you're ready to get in on the action, all you've got to do is download by clicking the link in our description, and you'll get $50 instantly when you play $5. Again, that's $50 instantly in lineups when you play $5. Let me know how you guys like the Prize Picks app, and play responsibly. We'll see how this lineup ends up doing, and we'll report back to you with our findings later tonight.
2014, Brandon McCarthy. Welcome back to the Fireside Yankees podcast. Thank you for joining us after the ad break. If you guys have been here, talked a little bit of Tarek Skubal, talked about Ryan Jeffers for a little bit. I said a little bit of Tarek Skubal. That damn near ate up like 30 minutes of our show. We talked about the series at the beginning. If you want to rewind and watch that, we appreciate you all so much for tuning in. Sam, Aspen Vodka player of the series here. Aspen Vodka, proud partner of Fireside Yankees. And man, I've just got to say, dude, like, I mean, just an honor, right? Like, it's a great beverage. I know you dropped the drink over the weekend, and kind of will give you a little bit of time to talk about that. But Aspen Vodka, proud sponsor of us and proud partners. They're available at Yankee Stadium. You can have them with the Bronx Tale and the Espresso Martini. You can also go to their website, and it gives you the location of where certain vendors sell Aspen Vodka. Super useful, because I'm an old man with technology, dude. Actually, I was like manually searching it on like Google. And
right. Yeah.
So, Sam, what you got for me, man?
Well, it is super hard to find, right? So the Espresso Martinis are at the LG Sports Lounge. That's where I get them every time I go. I know that the Bronx Tale is relatively available at like a lot of the other bars. I know that they kind of have that like food hub on the third base side, like right next to Benihana. That's where I usually find the Bronx Tale. But incredible beverages. So we did do a beverage this week. It was Max's Mojito. I know that Max hasn't necessarily played in a while, but incredible beverage. It was like a raspberry puree. Did some muddled mint, muddled lime, a little bit of blueberries in there. Great flavor. Was a big fan of the mojito. Did the crush last week, which is really cool. In like the Yankee Stadium Cup, it's like the most interesting thing in the world. But we do have some more stuff that's going to be coming to your screens on our social media stuff. I was at Yankee Stadium Friday night, got an espresso martini, of course. Shout out to Aspen Vodka. We did some man on the street content, asked people some questions, asked some people about Aspen Vodka. Had a great time at Billy's Day on Friday as well. Electric atmosphere. Shout out to my guys over there. Shout out Joey. So had a great time. We have some content coming with Aspen over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun because we have a really jammed like next month. It's kind of me and Ryan's, our schedules kind of get cranked up to like a T. So we're going to have a lot of fun. But as far as Aspen Vodka player of the series, surprising one. I'm going to give you a guy that hit really well. And I actually think that it's kind of gotten to a point where this weekend specifically, where he might be kind of taking a job here. And I feel like every time I say that, he tends to lose his job, but I'm just going to give it to him anyway. Shout out to Anthony Volpe. Hit really well this weekend. Was fine over there at shortstop. Not like a ton of like blips and errors. Like I know that he had the weird like throwing error yesterday. It was kind of nasty, but he hit really well. Solid offensive contribution, like what you do in the base pass. I know that he got picked off yesterday, it's kind of, or today. It was kind of weird, but hit well. So, like, that's just kind of what you want to see from Anthony Volpe, right? Like, give me something, whether it's on the offensive or defensive side of the ball. So, shout out to Anthony Volpe. He is my Aspen Vodka player of the series.
You know, I think it's a great pick. You know, I kind of want to give my flowers to Volpe here real quick. I am someone who has been very critical of the play. You know, I'll be frank, right? Like, not very high on him coming into the year, kind of like someone where like, you know, you go through so many highs and lows. You're like, you don't want to buy in, but man, I hope this is legit, man. I really do. Because I think it would be, I mean, for him, like it'd be great for him and it'd be great for this team, right? It gives you a scenario where you can like slide Lombard to third, right? Like it gives you that kind of scenario, yeah. Or like put Caballero out there. Like it gives you lanes. You need as many contributors as possible. I'm not asking for Cal Ripken Jr. 90s or 80s Cal Ripken Jr., Sam?
80s. Yeah, 80s got a bump. 80s is a 92. A I think he left the 90s at 90 even. He had like a 10, he had like an 11 war season in 1990.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Man, crazy. But yeah, I mean, again, I'm not asking for a superstar. I'm asking for solid play and like just keep the line rolling, man. My Aspen Vodka player of the series, man, I'm going to go easy here. Cam Schlittler. right? Like, I mean, 13 strikeouts, career high. He struck out 12 guys this one time in a start. I just, for the life of me, can't remember.
Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day.
Happy. You know what? I'm a little bit, I am disappointed that you didn't see any congratulations from the Red Sox to Cam Schlittler. It's honest to God, it's really disheartening. I guess, like, you know, I will say, like, Pedro kind of owes us one too, right? Like, because
who's your daddy?
Daddy thing, right?
Like, right.
He said it. We didn't. I'm not making this one up. He said correct. It. And I will. I'm a man of my word. I will pass it on my Happy Father's Day to Rafael Devers. Devers, you aren't good anymore, probably, but like no you doubt. Still scare me every time we see you, and you've caused me an insane amount of pain as a sports fan.
You know what's the weird one that I saw today?
What's up?
Vladdy.
Where are you at? Because I can see it, because he does like kick the shit out of us.
Okay, but as of late, it not really.
Guy who I think actually can do, I think Springer. We should have to give one to Springer.
Yeah,
Springer's
like, our daddy. Ernie Clement, you got it.
Yeah, Ernie Clement's our
you know, but like if I'm looking at a Blue Jay, I'm not looking at Vlad. Like, Like, Vladdy's been good against him this year. He was really bad.
He's kind of just in the mud PR-wise. He's just he's just in the mud PR-wise. But
haven't helped.
Gosman, I'm going to give Gosman like tip of the cap here, like
for sure. Yeah,
yo, bro.
Twitter, bro. You savage. You got it, bro.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He got roughed up last time, so like I'm gonna look at him a little sideways.
Yeah.
Ooh, weird one here. Randall Grichuk.
Randall Grichuk.
Happy Father's Day.
But you didn't see it this week. It was weird.
Yeah.
It was like the one time that like he didn't do it. Maybe it was like all right, like remember he had that like crazy beginning stretch to the White Sox.
Yes.
The numbers kind of look flat now.
Yeah.
Like the numbers like have totally flattened out. Dude, he had like a 1 OPS for like 3 weeks. It was like crazy. Like it's not even like comparable anymore. Actually, I want to see what it is exactly. Cause it they flash on the screen and it just kind of looked like he like fell off a cliff. Like, yeah, like the WRC plus is like back to 126. Yeah. Like it's not. Yeah. Like it's back to 126. Like, the OPS is at 834. Yeah, it was like 1,000 for like 3 weeks. So he's like kind of falling off a little bit.
And one more I got to give out. Just one more, and then we'll get to series preview. Yep. Black Panther, happy Father's Day. In my rivals, just like, dude.
Oh, my God.
Black Panther owns. Black Panther's my father in that game, man. Like, Black Panther beats the piss out of me every time we run into one. So
I mean, he's untrackable. That's like the problem with him.
Yeah,
like
Magic no longer is that.
Like
though.
He's actually untrackable. Like
he's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's actually untrackable. So he is like a good BP is the best player you're ever gonna play. Like hands down. Like he's not even close. Yeah. So he's ridiculous. Yeah.
We ready for the series preview, Sam?
100%. Let's do it.
Again, thank you to Aspen Vodka for sponsoring Aspen Vodka Player of the Series. Yankees play tomorrow. No off day, Sam. No, we don't have one till July 2nd, man.
It's nasty.
We're going to be getting through it. Garrett Cole faces Framber Valdez on Monday. Carlos Rodon is facing Casey Mize on Tuesday. And we've got a lopsided matchup here. One of the top left-handed starters in the league and Tarek Skubal go off at it against each other. Ryan Weathers versus Tarek Skubal will be the Wednesday matchup. It's going to be in Detroit. The Yankees have a 7-game road trip. We're not going to talk about the Boston series yet because that's for next podcast. But Sam, how do you foresee this 3-game set going?
Give me 2-1. I think they take Monday, Tuesday, you lose to Skubal, right? It's going to be an interesting one, too, because this is Mize fresh off of injury as well. I know that's a guy that they might deal. So they're probably looking forward to see kind of what he brings to the table, if like a team's going to trade for him at the deadline. And then you kind of get the, you know, I know we spent 30 minutes talking about Skubal today, but you kind of get like a mini preview on Wednesday, right? So like it's going to be a fun one. But I like them 2-1. I think they match up well. So I think you take Monday, Tuesday, you lose Wednesday to Skubal just because tip of the cap, you know what I mean? Like, hey, we'll lose here. I'll see you in a month.
Yeah. You know, I'll kind of give you the quick stats for you guys on the starters we're facing. Framber Valdez this season has a 4.09 ERA in 15 starts. He's running a career worst 18.3% strikeout rate alongside a career low 50.8% ground ball rate. It has been a real grind for him this year. 4.33 FIP, 4.48 expected ERA. The Yankees have tagged him a good bit last time. Trent Grisham is going to be missing his daddy, actually, because Trent Grisham, man.
Yeah.
That, I mean, he cost him millions of dollars because of what happened after. Casey Mize, as you mentioned, somebody who could get traded, has had a really strong season. Oh, what you got for me?
Pause. It's not Trent Grisham. It was Anthony Volpe.
You're right.
But this is why. So Trent Grisham hit the home run.
Yep.
But the cross-up pitch was middle, and Anthony Volpe just let it go.
If the Yankees trade for Skubal, Anthony Volpe deserves credit because part of why they'd have to trade Skubal is because they gave a bad contract to Framber Valdez, which is because his market was depreciated because Volpe took that pitch.
Effect.
Yeah, so Anthony Volpe, if the Yankees trade for Skubal, Anthony Volpe deserves a little piece of that pie. Casey Mize has been awesome this year, 2.58 ERA in 10 starts. As Sam mentioned, he has one start since coming back from the IL. In that start, he allowed 3 runs in 4 2/3 innings pitched against the Astros. Weird quirk about him, he's really bad against right-handed batters this year. They own him. They're hitting 271 with a .506 slugging percentage. He's given up all three of his home runs this season to righties. I wonder if he's going to have a little bit of home run to fly ball regression. We saw it with Davis Martin. We saw it with Andrew Abbott, where the Yankees have taken guys who weren't giving up a bunch of home runs and have hit home runs off of them. He has a 4.5% home run to fly ball rate. His career is 12.2%, so maybe the Yankees do some course correction there. And then Tarek Skubal, he's Tarek Skubal.
It's TJ.
He's Tarek Skubal. I got to go 2 and 3 as well. Like, I don't think we're being Skubal. I think Mize the flip game. Like, I feel pretty good about tomorrow just because of like the state of the Tigers offense. Like, Gleyber hit the IL again.
Right.
Way that Framber's pitched. The Yankees counters. They could put Goldie in there. Dio Ahmed in there. They can mix and match all they want. Like, even Jason Sitwell against righties. Please don't let him see the field. Please do not let him play in America.
No, DH him. Yeah, DH him.
Figure it out. Please. I guess they can't because Goldie's going to play first and Rice is going
to. Yeah, it's true.
Put Rice in left field. I don't care at this point.
Oh, my God.
Man, hopefully you go 2 out of 3, and hopefully the first place Yankees can remain the first place Yankees when we wake up when we do the podcast on Wednesday. Sam, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I'm good. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. If you're tuning in to this episode, shout out to my dad. I'm actually about to go see him right now. We're going to have a lovely dinner on our deck in Middletown, Delaware. So we're going to go enjoy that. We're going to have a great day. Thank you guys for tuning in. I love doing this show. A lot of fun.
Yeah. I want to thank everybody out there. If you're a father listening to this, happy Father's Day to you. And to those who are fathers of the people listening to this podcast, happy Father's Day to you. And obviously a very special happy Father's Day to my father. And, my dad is the reason why I'm a Yankee fan. You know, he's played such a pivotal role in me being in this spot. You know, he shaped my love for baseball. I love this sport because I love my dad. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not here without him, but I'm not here without his love for baseball either. So, it works both ways. Shout out Papa Garcia. Shout out my uncle. Shout out my grandpa. Both my grandpas. And let's go Yankees, man. Let's go get some dubs. I don't want to do another series loss podcast.
No,
we're gonna have to do some. You know, it's baseball, long season. We're gonna have some ugly podcasts still left in us, even if they go on to win the World Series. But I hope they're far and few in between. Right. Mark of a good team is that it's been a while since I've had to do this one. Sam, it's a pleasure. Appreciate you, man. Let's go Yanks, guys. We'll see you guys in the next one. Peace out, everybody.